Hello and welcome to today's program at the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum here at the club and your host for tonight. Our program tonight is part of our special Music Matters series, Cole Porter, A Man and His Music. Our speaker tonight is Noah Griffin. Noah is a man who is known to many of you. He was a long public career in government and has done a number of things here in the city. But a few years ago, he found religion and became a professional singer, and he's head of the Cole Porter Society. He's here tonight. I'd like you to welcome him, and he will enter with a song for us.
We're all alone, no chaperone, can't get our number. The world's in slumber, let's misbehave. It's getting late, and while I wait, my poor heart aches. Why put the brakes on? Let's misbehave. When Adam was young, he wouldn't stand for teasing. He didn't care about those apples out of season. They say that spring means just one thing to little lovebirds. We're not above birds. Let's misbehave. It's getting late, and while I wait, my poor heart aches on. Why put the brakes on? Let's misbehave. I feel quite sure un pour amour would be attractive. While we're still active, let's misbehave. You know my heart is true, and you say you for me care. Somebody's bound to tell, but what the hell do we care? They say that bears have love affairs and even camels. We're merely mammals. Let's misbehave. We're merely mammals. Let's misbehave.
Cole Porter. Thank you. Thank you, Russ Walker. And thank you, Commonwealth Club, for this wonderful opportunity to be here this evening to talk about my favorite composer and hopefully yours too. And today, a little something about his life, his background, his family, his career, his courage, because he's one of the most popular composers of all time. And he has a connection right here in California. We'll start off with the one that goes all the way back to Connecticut, because his great-great-grandfather was a soldier out of Connecticut, settling in Indiana, and having fought with Andrew Jackson in the War of 1812. He came to Peru, Indiana, which is a little north of Indianapolis, and he began life there as an engineer, became a lawyer and a judge, and had a dry goods store. Now, Cole's grandfather, J.O. Cole, was born in 1828 right there in Peru, and he decided at the age of 22 to get a $600 loan from his dad so he could come out here and be a part of the gold rush, not panning for gold, because he found that that didn't make a lot of money for him. So he began his life in providing goods and services for the miners and built a dam and a flue up in the Sacramento Valley and wound up making a lot of money. Came back to Peru, Indiana, bought up several thousand acres in southern Indiana, some in Illinois, and some in West Virginia. And in the land in West Virginia had coal and it had timber. And when the coal and the timber ran out, lo and behold, they found oil. So by the time he died in the early 20s, he amassed $17 million. Now, he was very much upset when the income tax came in because they were taking 1% of his money. And they wondered where it was going to go. So he had two children. One was Kate, Cole's mother, and another was J.O. Jr., who unfortunately died of alcoholism. Kate was very strong-willed and very much like her father, who was very strong-willed. Cole Porter called him the tyrant. She married Samuel Fenwick Porter, who was a pharmacist in town, and also someone who played the guitar, was very wistful. He loved Robert Browning, and you can sort of see the influence that he had on Cole Porter and Cole Porter's life. Well, when Cole came along, he was very much treasured because they lost two children before, and they really doted on Cole. Now, a soothsayer told Cole's mother, in order for him to be successful, you have to give him a middle name so it spells something. So it wasn't just Cole Porter, it was Cole Albert Porter. And he was born June 9th, 1891, in the sophisticated town of Peru, Indiana. Now, in Peru, Indiana, the only thing that ever really happened there, aside from the fact that Tom Mix used to film some of his movies there, was the circus used to quarter there every winter. And it was not unusual for elephants to tromp through the backyards and disrupt things. And Cole loved that. So anybody remember the movie The Pirate? And he wrote that song for Gene Kelly, Overnight, Be a Clown, Be a Clown. Now, he demonstrated some early musical abilities and talents. So his mother had him take up the violin, which he really didn't like, and then made him practice the piano. He went to Worcester Academy as a young boy. His mother insisted that he go back east to school because she had gone to Colby School for Girls on the East Coast. His grandfather wanted him to stay in Peru, Indiana, but she thought it would be good for him to go back to Worcester Academy. When he was 10 years old, she had his first piece of music published in Chicago, and she sent it around to all her friends. But she put his years back from 10 to 8 because she thought he would be like a new Mozart, as sometimes mothers are wont to do. And she was his biggest fan, and he adored her entire life. So he goes off to the Worcester Academy, and while he's there, he entertains his friends by writing song parodies. And I thought, it might be sort of fun, because none of them still exist, if I was Cole Porter today and writing a song parody for this program, I looked at what was in the news this morning. And what was in the news this morning? Well, something about the female Viagra pill. And if Cole were writing today, he might write something like, I'll take romance. If this pill works long, you'll give me a chance. No begging, dear, or rants. I'll get romance. So, my darling, when you're with me, kiss me in the hush of the evening. I'll insist we keep pills in store, for I might ask for more, 'cause I feel in a trance. No more unfulfilled nights of buttoned-up pants. You're giving me a chance to have romance. Thank you. Thank you, Ross Glocko. And one more, because there's such politics in the news. We try and do this right up the middle, but the debates are on, and everybody's talking about what's going on. And so another one that I wrote this morning, and then we'll go on with Cole's life. May I have your attention, please? Your attention, please. I can deal with this country, friends, with the wave of my hand, this very hand. Please observe my bold harumph. I'm the answer, Donald Trump, and I'm here to organize the real Republicans. Oh, think, my friends, how can any fools able ever hope to compete with the gold I won't? Ra-ra-da-ra-da-da-ra-da. Remember, my friends, what a handful of politicos did to enormous debt we owe. Any bipartisanship comes to tumbling down. Oh, what Trump will do it, my friends. Oh, yes, I said it. Donald Trump, do you hear me? America's in need of a Trump plan, and my friend, she needs it today. Now that Donald's here on hand, America's going to have my special plan. And as sure as the Lord made little green apples, and that plan's going to take you all by storm. Carly, Christy, Ben, and Jeb. And you'll see the glitter of clashing cymbals, and you hear the thunder of roaring guns, and you'll hear the shimmer of shining promises, and you'll feel the electric kin I much enjoyed when Rubio, Bush, Carly, Carson, and Walker all came together on the very same historic day. I've got some tricks I've honed to lead the red parade. Poll numbers I keep right near, close at hand. I am followed by row and row of reporters kept in tow to make sure their inquiries are bland. I've got some tricks I've honed, making sure I've won with 100 attack statements to opine. With more than 1,000 feeds to supply all needs from the norm to any text you'll find. There were bottom fodder feeder-me's and bike buffoons thundering, blundering all along the way. Double barrel phonies croon and crazy loons, each too soon wanting their big fat say. There are 50 mounted questions, just a battery thundering, thundering louder than before. Questions from reporters rise and follow-ups to improvise. Who knows what next is coming up in store? Thank you, Cole. Well, he's a big hit with all of the students because he does a lot of these behind the professors' backs, and they're not very pleased when they hear about them, but he graduates, does the class song, and then he goes to Yale. Now, in a couple of minutes, we're going to cue the songs that he wrote at Yale that are still remembered, Bingo, Bingo, Eli Yale, and Bulldog, Bulldog, Bow, Wow, Wow. When he goes to Yale, it is said by his friend Monty Woolley, he looked like somebody from the West coming all dressed up to go to the big city. He wore a salmon-colored tie, dressed like a fop. He had a little piano in his room, and Monty Woolley liked him because he said, Monty, I'm not pretentious. If I broke one little finger, nobody would pay any attention to me at all. He wrote over 300 songs for Yale, which are still there. In fact, some of the early ideas for some of his later songs were there. He had a cat in his room. He had two cats. One was called Anything, and the other was called Goes. So you can see where that went. He graduates from Yale, and he goes to Harvard Law School. But before he goes, I think we've got it queued up now, so we'll hear these songs from the Whiffenpoofs, in which he was a part of the first one. He graduated the class of 1913 with Averell Harriman, Gerald Murphy, and some other notables. If it's queued up, we'll hear Bingo Bingo Eli and a couple of other songs from the Whiffenpoofs. Are you ready, Will? He's there in the background. The Whiffenpoofs came to San Francisco just 2 minutes, maybe about 5 years ago, and they were nice enough to come to the Branson School where my daughter is. I went to Yale for a summer fellowship, and all of his programs, all of his archives are there, and Robert Kimball's wonderful coffee table book is done from those archival materials. You know, Kennedy spoke at Yale in 1962, and he said, I have the best of both worlds, a Harvard education and a Yale degree. They gave him an honorary doctorate. there's the table down at Morey's, where the place where Louis dwells, that's still there. In fact, they're building a new college there at Yale, and there's a movement there to name it for Cole Porter, and we hope that they actually do. We're going to move on with his life and don't get back to those songs when we're told that they're queued up. He came out of Yale being the toast of the town. They would travel all around the country singing at various Yale clubs, and then he entered Harvard Law School because his father wanted him to, his grandfather wanted him to take over his business. They did not tell the grandfather that after a year of Harvard Law, the dean said to him, anybody can be a lawyer. You've got talent. So he said, I can say that because I'm a lawyer. So they moved him over to the School of Music without telling his grandfather, and he prospered there. There are many stories as to how he moved over. Bull Warren, one of the legendary professors in property at Harvard Law, called on him one day, and he was unprepared. He said, Mr. Porter, why don't you stick to your music because you'll never make it in law. That's kind of the same attitude they had when I was there. They had the Socratic method, and they were very tough on people. And he said he closed his books and never came back. Cole told so many stories about himself, you never know which one was true. So that's one of them. At any rate, the father thought that he would never make it in music. In fact, my wife and I, Meredith and I, went to Peru, Indiana 2 years ago and stayed with a collateral part of the family in 1952. And they took us to the very part where he took his son out in a buckboard and said, see that poorhouse over there, which is still there. It's a hospital. If you don't shape up and get into business, that's where you're going to wind up. So he never had any real faith in Cole and his music abilities. He wanted him to get involved in something that he thought was manageable and something that would make a living for him. So Cole leaves Harvard Law. He has a musical that's a failure. It's called See America First, and the critics said See America Last because it did not do very well at all. So he escapes. He goes to Paris to lead a bon vivant life. His mother gives him enough money to be able to live very well. He meets a woman by the name of Linda Porter, Linda Thomas, and they get together. She had had a very bad first marriage where her husband was abusive, and to have a relationship with somebody who'd made no sexual demands on her was perfect for her. So Cole was homosexual, and she was turned off against conjugal rights, so it was kind of a perfect situation for them at the time. He enlists in World War I, and I don't think I've given you this music, but he writes a song, and they asked me how dangerous it was. They'll never believe me, they'll never believe me. How we fought both day and night with some wild girls who were out of sight. 'Twas the loveliest war that you ever saw. They won't believe me. They won't never believe me. There was a front, but damned if I knew where. But he came up with this thing that he was in the Foreign Legion, and all, because he loved to make up these stories. At any rate, he and Linda got married, and she was very rich, and his mother gave him $1 million. She had a couple of $1 million, and so they lived very well. They wound up having homes in both Paris and New York at the Waldorf Astoria, and also they helped discover Venice. They kept Venice going. They wintered there. They were paying the sum of $4,000 a month when they were in Venice, which is the equivalent of $55,000 a month today. So he lived very, very well. He didn't want to appear as if he were a failure in music because he was acting as if he were a dilettante. He'd write a little something here, and his wife thought that he had the opportunity to be a serious composer. So she wrote Stravinsky and asked if he would tutor Cole, and he said, no, thank you. And Cole went on to actually write some pretty good music. In 1928, he wrote a show entitled Les Ambassadors, which we brought to Marin County last year. It was the second time it's only been performed in America. It was lost to history for many years. And some wonderful songs came out of that. We will do one of those for you now. How about let's do it. Birds do it, bees do it, first-timers who lack an expertise do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it, Lithuanians, and let's do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. The Dutch in old Amsterdam do it, not to mention the Finns. Folks in Siam do it, think of Siamese twins. Some Argentines without means do it, though it's banned in Boston, even beans do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Cold Cape Cod clams against their wish do it, even lazy jellyfish do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it. Even shad do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Cold Cape Cod clams against their wish do it, though it shocks them, I know. Why ask if shad do it? Waiter, bring me shad roe in shallow shoals. English souls do it. Goldfish in the privacy of bowls do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Yes, sir. So, his first big hit, he comes back to America. They get going on a lot of different musicals. He's picked up by MGM, notices him. So half the year he's in Los Angeles, the other half of the year he's in New York. And people begin to appreciate what wonderful lyrics he has. It was Elsa Maxwell that told him, stay to the level that you are. The people will come to you. Because it was June and Spoon and Croon. And he was a very sophisticated composer. And he wondered if he would ever make it. But Irving Berlin told him, stay right where you are. He owes a real debt to Irving Berlin because Irving Berlin married a socialite by the name of Ellen Mackey. And his marriage was not accepted because Irving Berlin was Jewish. And that did not matter to Cole Porter at all. He accepted him right away. In fact, Irving Berlin paid him a high compliment. He said, you write Jewish. The songs that he writes has a lot of those different kinds of tones to them. And so, as I said, dress British and think Yiddish, and you'll make it. He has this awful writing accident in 1937. where he's going to the Pipingham Country Club. And if he told Cole not to do something, he would do it. And he took this very spirited horse, and the horse rolled over and crushed both of his legs. And he said that while he was there, he wrote At Long Last Love, but that was a cover story. He had over 33 operations. And that's when he gained the respect of the people that came up the hard way in the music business, because they saw what a gutty little guy he was. And he came back and he scored some of his biggest songs after that. Kiss Me Kate was just the toast. He named it after his mother, basically. And I think we have one of the songs from there. Or do we have the Yale songs queued up as of yet? We went a long ways, did we? Okay, here we go. These are the songs that he wrote when he was at Yale. And they're coming right up. I know we're on radio. We can't have any dead air. When we did have dead air, I was on the radio, and we used to say, and here, more. Here we go. No hope for Harvard. Porter. You know, he had a wonderful and a wicked sense of humor. And he came up with this song, which if someone of the upper set strayed, and this was written on a bet with Monty Willie, and it became one of his better known songs. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets She's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed. But last evening down in Lover's Lane, she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that her dream of love had gone, madam, she ran for the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When the mob came and found her and dragged her from the jail, madam, they strung her upon the old willow across the way. And the moment before she died, she lifted up her lovely head and cried, madam. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Polite to the end. So, getting back to our story, in 1937, Cole has this awful riding accident in Pipingham, and the horse rolls over and crushes both of his legs. At that point, his wife was about to leave him because he was spending half of his time in Los Angeles and the other half in New York, and he wasn't paying very much attention even to the pretense of the marriage. But this brought both the mother and the wife back together with Cole to determine what was to be done. They thought under no circumstances can they operate and amputate the legs as the doctor suggested. So over the next number of years until 1958, Cole had 33 different operations on his legs, and he never, ever complained about it. He called them, he had a name for each one of them, and he'd say, you know, this one's acting up today, or Josephine's acting up today, and the other one's not. And that's when he got the respect of all of the people in the music business. He was not just some dilettante. And he came back with the big hit, Kiss Me Kate, in 1948. And that kind of reestablished him. And they had a number of hits over the next few years, and people really appreciated who he was. Interestingly enough, in 1958, when both his mother and his wife had died, osteomyelitis set in, and he determined that he was going to have to get that one leg off. And he never wrote another note after then. Both his mother and his wife knew something about how he viewed himself, and to have not view himself as a whole person would have taken away some of the pride that he had. He would listen to what he had written and wondered, did I actually write that? It's kind of interesting. What a contribution he made. Of course, he was given a Doctor of Honorary Letters from Yale University. Is one of our fabulous composers, as noted so. Probably the third highest-selling composer of all time. The family lives very nicely off the royalties from all the songs that Cole does. Not as many as there were before, because it's not the kind of popular music that it once was on the radio. You would hear it all the time. But it's still heard in movies. There are enough people that still do the Cole Porter reviews. You can pick them up all around the country at various places, Hollywood, here, New York. And there's not Anything Goes is always a very popular song, very popular musical. There are quite a few. There are quite a few that are played. So what we will do for you now is a couple of tunes, and then we'll open it up for questions. Let's see, where do we want to go here? Sure. Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick-tick clock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrop when the summer showers through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you, you, you.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon or under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you. Day and night, night and day, why is it so that this longing within me follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there is an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Mr. Ross Gualco on the keyboard.
Night and day, under the hide of me, there is an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend life making love to you day and night. Night and day.
Porter, thank you. Well, it's time to open it up for some questions. I mean, it's a brief survey of a very long and satisfying life, and happen to answer any questions, the answers to which I know.
Okay, at this point in our program, I would like to remind our audience listening at home, this is the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum and your host for tonight. Our speaker and performer tonight is Noah Griffin. Now we're going to turn it over to the audience for some questions.
Thank you. We've got a roving microphone, so there's no dead air on the radio. If there is, well, it's brought to you by Marcel Marceau.
Well, Stravinsky refused to teach him, but did he have much in the way of formal music instruction? Did he study theory? And did he, in addition to writing the melodies, did he orchestrate or arrange some of his music?
He did both the music and the lyrics. Jimmy Durante used to say, music and lyrics by Cole Porter. He was brilliant at that. Very few people are. There's only one song that he bought, which was Don't Fence Me In. He bought it from a cowboy poet for $250. And he cleaned up the lyrics. But he wrote them both. So he wrote over 900 known songs and probably a little bit more. He orchestrated as well. He was very, very brilliant. Dr. Surmay gave him some help, but he did most of it himself. Yes, please.
Hi, this is not meant to be a criticism. I think this program has been amazing. You mentioned that Cole Porter was the number three best-selling composer of
right.
all time. I believe number one is Paul McCartney. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Of the genre of music that I'm talking about.
I'm sorry.
I should have said that.
I think Paul McCartney was extremely varied, and compared to him, Cole Porter, although I love Cole Porter, was maybe more of, you know, one type of song in the genre, and forgive me for misunderstanding what you said. But
well, it could be record sales, too. They could be talking about record sales.
No, I just was wanting to clarify what you had said previously.
I think it's Well, at least of the music that we're talking about, I think Cole comes in number three, at least from the research that
thank
I've done.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. Ma'am, the microphone's coming over to you now. Okay.
What do you think of Cary Grant as Cole Porter?
Well, Cole Porter said at the time, would you turn down Cary Grant playing you? it's kind of the whole thing was mythologized. He looked at the movie and he said, I vaguely recognize the guy up there. Cole Porter was all of 120 pounds, dripping wet. He was 5'7", but this satisfied his ego. And it was a perfect opportunity for him to put people on, because that's kind of what he did in many respects. You did what you could in 1948 in terms of telling the real story of Cole Porter and his life, which is more closely told in the movie DeLovely than it was in with Cary Grant playing him. But it's bits of it. Monty Woolley, who was in there, they were classmates at Yale, playing one of his musical professors. But it's a pretty fictionalized account in many ways. They hit some of the highlights.
Hi. The song Night and Day, without a doubt, is one of the greatest love songs that's ever been written in terms of expressing the idealization of romance and love, to be able to feel to that degree about somebody. And there have been so many people that have recorded it. I mean, I could just go right off the bat with Frank Sinatra and Fred Astaire, and I think Ella Fitzgerald did it, and numerous other contemporaries going back to the time that it was written, which was 1937, I believe. But the interesting thing is today those lyrics still hold up so beautifully. And, you know, it's 75 years old. And so the thing
love is even older than that.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to
You're absolutely right. Cole could write with passion. And Dick Rogers talked about that, the way in which he wrote. He felt very deeply some of the songs that express that with a lot of heart and with a lot of emotion, which a lot of composers don't really have. So what he felt very deeply.
Thank you very much, Noah. It's really extraordinary to hear you. I'd like to say three things. I believe Cole Porter was the only one who wrote both the music and the lyrics, whereas Gershwin didn't. Paul McCartney had his group. But outside of Don't Fence Me In, which is something, as you say, he bought and then changed the lyrics, I think that's quite extraordinary. And also, I too am a lover of Night and Day, but playing the piano, he always has the crescendo that is a knockout. And nothing could be greater than some of those songs like Night and Day, Begin the Begin. Don't let them begin the begin, let them begin the begin. I mean, it's just so exciting to play that and to think. Here was a bisexual man, because he did have relations with his wife a little bit, who had such deep, profound feeling. And I think he has one lyric about you're as cute as the Roxy Usher, and at that point they
think the pants on the Roxy Usher.
Exactly. So, but wasn't he at Yale also with Rudy Valley?
I think Rudy Valley was a little bit later.
Okay.
I know he graduated with some notables, but I don't believe that Rudy Valley was among them. No, I don't think so.
Thank you so much for this evening.
But you know, he came along with the megaphone, and then the actual microphone made a lot of people with softer voices popular. Like Perry Como probably wouldn't have made it in the early stand. The earlier singers were very operatic. The microphone singer helped make somebody like a Frank Sinatra, because he didn't have a booming voice, or a Bing Crosby did not have a booming voice. So the microphone actually made those singers. Before that, the popular singers were more of the operatic type. You had to fill those halls. If you think about when Patricia Morrison was singing in Kiss Me, Kate, it was said that she had too soft a voice, So Cole Porter hobbled all the way up to the back of the theater to make sure she could be heard. Now, Ethel Merman could be heard in the back of this theater and the back of the theater across the way. And he very much delighted in the fact that she would sing his songs. And so she was in six of Cole Porter's musicals. So he wrote a lot of them for her. And he said about her that she could intentionally sharp or flat a given note. Her voice was that perfect for what he wrote. And sometimes he would write something specifically for somebody. And if the song didn't go, somebody said, take it out. He was very sensitive. He would take it out, but he'd put it in the trunk. And then he would take it out for another musical and reinsert it someplace else. So that's kind of how he worked and operated.
So, Noah, when you and I were putting this program together, we talked about maybe having some musical questions and answers. So I wanted to make sure that you had a little bit of music in the questions and answers. I wanted to ask you, for myself, I'm a big Shakespeare fan, and I love Kiss Me, Kate, and I love Brush Up Your Shakespeare. How did he come up with that?
Well, he was quite a fan of the classics, and he was asked to come up with a song that basically filled some time. And he had these folks do the kind of soft shoe and Kiss Me, Kate. And he demonstrated his appreciation and knowledge of, and why don't we see if we can, that's a good segue. Thank you. The girls today in society go for classical poetry, so to win their hearts one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides. One must know Homer, and believe me, Bo, Sophocles, also Sappho, ho, ho. If you don't know Shelley and Keats and Pope, Dainty Debbies will call you a dope. But the poet of them all, who will start them simply raving, is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. So brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow. Just declaim a few lines from Otello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella. If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra. If she fights cause her clothes you are mussin', what are clothes much ado about nothing? So brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. You've got to brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow. It goes on and on for about four or five different verses, and he shows his appreciation and knowledge of the classics and his wry wit and sense of humor. And if you see the movie Kiss Me, Kate, watch for that one, because they do a little soft shoe to it, and it's just a wonderful piece, and shows you his classical history, knowledge, and background. So it's a wonderful song.
Thank you. Do we have another question?
Hang on.
The name of his parents, was that Poeta or not? Wasn't there something about his name called Poeta?
Well, his name was Cole Porter. His family on one side was Cole, and then she married Samuel Fenwick Porter. His mother did, so it was Cole Porter. And a soothsayer made them put an A in there that spelled Cap. So she thought he would have better success with a career if it spelled Cap. So she was very conscious of those kinds of things, and also very superstitious. In fact, she put Cole's age back a couple of years so he could seem more precocious than he actually was. Sir?
Two things. There are many writers who wrote both lyrics and music, and Frank Lesser is one of them. But the last show he wrote was Aladdin. Where was it shown in America? I know where it was shown in England, but not in America.
I don't know that it was. I think it was a television show in America. I don't think it...
Played twice at the Coliseum, 2 years in a row in London as a Christmas show.
Well, the Gladiators must have won, because it stayed in London and it never got across the pond to here, as far as I know. I think it was a television show, huge stage show in the huge. Well, that was I think his last one. I think in part of the lyrics he said, "I'd rather be anybody else but me," because he was sort of tired of living at the time. His mother had died, his wife had died. osteomyelitis had set in. He lost his leg above the knee. A lot of his dignity went. He would listen to some of his songs and wonder how he'd ever written them. It was really sort of tragic. So the last 6 years of his life were really spent in a lot of pain. He was a very brave, brave little guy, actually. Yes, ma'am. Hang on for a second. Do you want to grab the microphone there? Thanks.
Were there any great loves in his life that we know about that inspired these wonderful romantic songs?
He had a lot of different loves in his life, but none of them were women. He adored his mother, and he had a really wonderful love relationship with, it just wasn't physically consummated, with his wife. She kind of played the den mother. But when he got to Los Angeles, he was much less discreet than he had been before, and she was making plans to leave him before the riding accident, which brought her back to him and brought the mother and the wife together to determine what the treatment should be, and under no circumstances would they allow the doctor to remove that leg. And so he lived as an invalid for that many years, and they knew something that other folks didn't know. A very brave guy. He would take Machu Picchu on one false step with a donkey, and he was gone. And everybody else was terrified, but he had a lot of pluck. He would just continue on. Very, very brave. Very brave guy.
Well, how about one more song?
Sure. Let's see. What do we do? Yeah, why don't we do a couple of sing-alongs? This was... we'll do... this was the song that Cole Porter purchased from a cowboy poet for $250. And you can all sing along with me. Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above.
Don't fence me in.
Oh, let me ride through the wide open country that I love.
Don't fence me in.
Oh, let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood tree. Send me off forever, but I ask you please,
don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountain rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hovels and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me, just turn me loose, let me straddle the western skies. On my cayuse, let me till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hovels and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me. Give yourselves a hand. We have one other sing-along that everybody true love. 1956, High Society. And I give to you when you give to me. And on it will always be.
True love,
for you and I have a guardian angel on high, with nothing to do but
to give to you and to give to me.
Love forever true. One more time. And I'll
always live to be
true love, and on it will always be.
True love,
for you and I have a guardian angel on high, with
nothing to do
but to give to you as you give to me. Follow the bouncing ball. Love forever true. Love forever true. Give yourselves a hand.
Hey, Noah, we do have one more question, which I think
sure.
is quite a good one, so I'm going to hand it to this lady here.
Sorry, I got two questions tonight.
Well, why not? But with a name like Noah, you've got to have two of everything.
I'm very intrigued. Why did you become so immersed in Cole Porter, his songs, his history? You have a beautiful voice, and thank you for sharing his songs with us.
Well, when I was 27 years old, my mother bought me a big oversized coffee table book of The Life of Cole Porter by Kimball. And I went to Harvard Law School, as did he for a year. I completed it, and I thought I might want to go into music. And the dean sent me down to Cole Porter's law firm, and I was in the room that was dedicated to Cole Porter and had all his music. And I was going to give it a try to get into music. And what happened was when I graduated from law school, I came back home, and I got intrigued with politics. So I ran for the Board of Supervisors, spent 35, 40 years in government, politics, and media, till I had a stroke 10 years ago, which totally paralyzed my left side. And the gal that I had met 3 weeks before, who's here this evening, Meredith Browning, now Griffin, saved my life. Thank you. Since what was happening, I got up one morning and I couldn't feel anything on my left side. And so with my right side, I figured out I could drive. So I drove up to where she lived and I called her on my cell phone from the parking lot. And she came and got me, hobbled me into her apartment, put the symptoms in the internet, came up with stroke, gave me 2 aspirin, called a doctor friend of mine and said, get him to the hospital as soon as you can. So in the midst of morning drive traffic, she bypassed one hospital because she thought I could get better care at the other one. And she was right. And for 3 days, I couldn't move my left side, and I didn't know if I was going to get any feeling back. So eventually it came back. And it's funny, I was supposed to do a show right over here at the corner a couple of weeks later, and they asked me if I wanted a substitute. And I said, no, I'll be there for the show. And so I did the show, but they had an ambulance outside waiting just in case I was not going to be able to complete the show. But essentially, she saved my life, so I asked her to marry me 3 weeks later. She said that was the least I could do. She'd been single for 33 years and was not going to get remarried. And so she asked me, why aren't you singing? That's what you were sort of meant to do. And so from that time to this, she supported me in that effort. A number of years ago, she decided that we should hook up with the Cole Porter Society. And so we scoured the internet, and there was no Cole Porter Society. So she dialed the number of the law firm back in New York and gave me the phone. So I started talking. As a former talk show host, I started talking. And I said, you know, we'd like to form the Cole Porter Society. I said, yeah, that's a really good idea. I said, did you hear what we said? We'd like to form the Cole Porter Society. So they said, oh, okay. So, you know, with a law background, I said, let's get it in writing. So we wrote this whole thing up, and I sent it off by internet, and I sent it a registered mail, and I went, came back within a few days saying, please go with it, go with our blessing. Nobody's ever thought that they would, you know, if they form a Cole Porter Society. And that's how it's formed. And every time we've given a show, it's been a sold-out performance. People are hungry for this kind of music. We did it last New Year's Eve at the Fairmont Hotel here in San Francisco, and it was sold out. We didn't think that we could come back twice. They've asked us to come back twice and do the show again. Ross is the accompanist there. Ross Gualco is one of the finest accompanists in the country. He's written all the arrangements for the songs that we do. So we do an hour and a half show on Cole Porter, and we give a little bit of the history in between time. So I've totally changed careers after 40 years in government, politics, and media. I'm doing what it is that I started out to do, what I wanted to do, but I got waylaid. I thought, they say you're always defined by the last degree that you had. So since I had a degree from Harvard Law School, I thought I had to use it in government, politics, and media. But I didn't. So I finally felt released from that when I met Meredith. So now I'm doing what it is I want to do, and I'm enjoying it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So we have time for just one more question and one more song tonight.
Sure, absolutely.
And I'd like to remind our audience listening at home, this is the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm Kevin O'Malley, chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum here at the club, and we're sponsoring the program tonight as part of the Music Matters series this August here. Our program tonight is Noah Griffin, the man
Noah
and his
Porter.
Music. Noah Porter, yeah. Our program today is Cole Porter, Man and His Music, featuring Noah Griffin. I'd like to ask your accompanist,
Russ Falco,
just to get him to say a few words about working with Cole Porter's music and what it means and how you approach it for today's audiences. Are your arrangements different in 2015 than they would have been in 1940?
Oh, it's a dream to do music of Cole Porter. Lyrically, it's so strong, and musically, it's a dream. It really is. I try not to do it too different. I sweeten up some of the chords a bit, straighten them out, but leave it pretty much in the style that it was written.
And how did you come to Cole Porter?
I've been doing it for many years because I always like doing the American Songbook. So it's Cole Porter, Gershwin, Irving Berlin, all of those come real easy to me. I like them.
Well, thank you very much for being here tonight. Let's have a round of applause for our
company. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Ross Gualco.
And Noah, if you'd like to take us out with a song, and then I will end the program with the official three gavels of the Commonwealth Club, as we customarily do.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let's thank Noah one more time for being
thank
here.
Thank you all very, very much. Thank the Commonwealth Club for having me. Carol Fleming. I feel a sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So control your desire to curse while I crucify this verse. This verse I've started seems to me the 10th antithesis of melody. So to spare you all the pain, I'll skip the darn verse and sing the refrain. Me, 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 re, 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 do, sol, li, do, sol, li. Night is young, skies are clear, so if you want to go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. I can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. I can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. When I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's delimit, it's deluxe, it's delovely. Time marches on, soon it's plain. You've won my heart and I've lost my brain. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. Life seems so sweet that we decide it's in the bag to get unified. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. See that crowd in the church and that proud parson plopped on a perch. Get the sweet beat of the organ sealing our doom. Here comes the groom, boom, how they cheer, how they smile as we go galloping down the aisle. It's divine, dear, it's divine, dear, it's de wunderbar, it's de victory, it's de venner, it's de volop, it's de voits, it's de lovely. We've tied the knot, so we take a few hours off to eat wedding cake. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's de lovely. She feels so good to be a bride. How's the groom? Well, I'm slightly fried. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's delovely. To the pop of champagne, off we hop in our plush little plane till the bright lights through the darkness cozily call. Niagara Falls, all's well, my love, our day's completed. What a beautiful bridal suite. It's dreamy, it's drowsy, it's de reverie, it's de rhapsody, it's de regal, it's de royal, it's de ritz, it's de lovely. We settle down as man and wife. We're gonna solve that riddle called married life. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's de lovely. We're on the crest, We have no cares. We're just a couple of honey bears. It's delightful. It's delicious. It's lovely. All's as right as can be. Till one night, out your window, I see an absurd bird with a bundle hung on his nose. Get baby, close those eyes of mine. Fill up with joy when nurse appears and cries, it's a boy, he's appalling, he's appealing, he's a pollywog, he's a paragon, he's a Popeye, he's a panic, he's a pip, he's the lovely last verse. Our boy grows up, he's 6'3", he's so good looking, he looks like me, he's delightful, he's delicious, he's the lovely. He is such a hit, that son of ours. All the dowagers send him flowers. He's delightful, he's delicious, he's lovely. So sublime in his press that in time L.B. Mayer no less takes the night flight to New York to tell him he should go Hollywood. Good God, today he makes such pay. Elaine Berry's his fiancée. He's delightful, he's delicious, he's deductible, he's delirious, he's dilemma, he's dilemma, he's deluxe, he's the lovely Cole Porter. And thank you, Commonwealth Club. Thank you very much. Ross Gualco, thank you. Carol Fleming, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Noah Griffin. Our program tonight has been Cole Porter, The Man and His Music with Noah Griffin. Thank you very much for attending tonight. And with this, our program tonight at the Commonwealth Club of California, celebrating over 120 years of enlightened public discussion, is closed.